Okay, good morning. Can you hear me now? All right, good morning, beloveds. Yes, thank you, Ken. As he mentioned, it is Second Sunday, and our minister for this month is Reverend Hal Seeley. So I'm going to turn this mic over to Hal to bring you the gathering for this month or for this day.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Gloria. Can you hear me? Yes, great. That's well, we're off to a good start anyway. Every time I say good morning to somebody, I think back to that movie, Good Morning Vietnam, and I think of Robin Williams, the way he used to say, "Good morning, Vietnam." Anyway, good morning to all our sanctuary gatherers, all the family here and awakening together. Very honored to be with you today as a mystery minister. And I'm certainly a mystery at times, that's for sure. Thank you very much, Ken, for your introductory music. You have such a good selection all the time. I enjoy listening to it. I think back to when I remember listening to Reverend Gloria on her first Sunday morning and how nervous she felt, or I could sense her nervousness. And I was sitting here this morning getting ready for this message, and I realized how nervous I was, or I am. And I realized that I must be in fear of not doing things right. Yeah, so true, Gloria. I guess it's just a natural thing to be concerned with getting everything right, doing everything right. And as I sat in meditation this morning, I kept meditating on just relaxing. And hopefully that I can relax enough to allow Holy Spirit to speak through me this morning. Anyway, it's a wonderful day here in Las Vegas. It's a cool morning. Thankfully, the seasons change and we get rid of that hot weather and we start cooling down. Even though there's probably people wishing it would stay hot. But anyway, we will now use this time of the service to meet and greet one another. We'll let go of the mic for just a few minutes.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Chidananda,
Thank you for that song, Ken. And again, good morning, everybody. Here at Awakening Together, we have a purpose. And our purpose is that we are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. On the Awakening Together website, which the new website is extremely well put together. Thank you for everybody that had anything to do with that. But under the Awakening Together website, you can find our purpose under the About column, and you go to our spirituality, and then you go to our purpose and values, and click on that link, and you can find those. And under there, under our purpose, there's also a link to One True Self. And under that link, I was reading that this morning, and I picked out something I wanted to read to you. In addition to our purpose, Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers who are aware that we have a choice. We can live by giving attention to individual thinking and perceptions, or we can live by giving attention to natural guiding intelligence. It is our purpose to live by giving attention to natural guiding intelligence, because that is our true self and our true intelligence. Therefore, we endeavor to recognize the difference between individual thinking and natural guidance, and we learn to overlook individual thinking in favor of natural guidance. Under our purposes, our core values, and this morning I have focused in on number two. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition. That is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And on that core value number two, there is also a link to spiritual intuition. And I recommend that you give yourself a little time and go there and read that. It's some excellent guidance. And this morning, we have some announcements that I will read. The member board of trustees has decided that each year we will close the Awakening Together Sanctuary during our fall retreat, so that our paid staff can attend without conflict. This year, our sanctuary will be closed beginning Sunday, October 22nd, through Sunday, October 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So, although we will be closed most of the day on October 29th, we will be open that evening. We'll open with the Mighty Companions and have a full evening of programming on the 29th. Our movie discussion group will be that night. And this month's movie is Revolver by director Guy Ritchie. And one exception to the sanctuary closure that I just announced is we will open on Tuesday night that week for Gentle Healing. However, because of mealtime at the retreat, Gentle Healing will be at a different time. The sanctuary will be open at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, October 26th. Gentle Healing will begin at 7:20 and last about an hour. We will skip the individual sharings and go directly to Regina's sharing. Join us in the sanctuary each Monday evening, starting tomorrow, for a new hour of meditation. It is an opportunity for us to get together once each week, and practice awareness, watching awareness together. We will meditate to the 60-minute audios that Reverend Karen Worth made using Michael Langford's awareness, watching awareness descriptions. These audios include gentle music for meditation. Again, that is each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, starting tomorrow. We will have two set things this month. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Reverend Jay McCormick will interview Igor Kufayev. Igor Kufayev, I hope I pronounced that right, is an artist, Advaita Tantra teacher, and founder of the Flowing Wakefulness Community. For over a decade, Igor has been serving as a conduit of transmission for awakening towards a new era of heart-centered consciousness. Speaking from direct realization of oneness, he inspires all seekers of truth to recognize the fullest potential present in human birth. Many have been touched by grace and awakened in his presence as he continues working towards building a global community to serve as a container for exploring possibilities for alternative consciousness-based culture. Next Sunday, Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will interview Mary Reed. Jacqueline interviewed Mary for the first time in January. This is our second satsang with her. Mary Reed is an accidental mystic who, following 11 years of profound involuntary visions and insights into divine realms, surrendered her executive life in Washington, D.C. to explore her spiritual gifts in a remote Buddhist nunnery in India. She is coming back to share an updated message of clarity. And of course, Craig Holiday will be here tonight and every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for weekly satsang. And now we will listen to our opening song.
It's a whisper you hear in the midst of your fear. It's revealing. It's a part of the heart, and it's just who we are. It's so healing. It's a power inside, always wins over pride, never judges, and it's strength and comforts us all. That's what love is. It's the healer of souls, makes the broken ones whole and completed. It's what gives you the strength and the hope when you're feeling defeated. It's a compass and guide, and it won't be denied, so we trust it. It's the light in the dark of it all. That's what love is. And it's patient and kind, and it's deaf, dumb, and blind to the madness. It's the ace of the dealer of truth. It's the healer of sadness. It's a place that you know from so long, long ago, and it's free. And you feel when it's there, 'cause you're able to share from your being. And it takes us all higher, and it lifts and inspires all it touches. It's the best part of being alive. That's what love is. And it's patient and kind, and it's deaf, dumb, and blind to the madness. It's the ace of the dealer of truth. It's the healer of sadness. It's beyond right or wrong, and it's not weak or strong, it's not winning. For the young and the old, it's a brave and a bold new beginning. It's the peace and the hope, it's what helps us to cope, it's forgiveness. It's the light that will always endure. It's eternal and simple and pure. That's what love is.
Thank you very much, Ken. Beautiful song. This morning, as we begin our service, it was my thought, what am I doing here? And this came to me, and as I read it, I believe it was, yes, I found it in the book Absence of Felicity, but I think it's also found in A Course in Miracles. And when you read something from any book, it usually reads with the pronoun you in the sentence, but I want to read this, and I'm going to replace the word you with us. And I begin. What we acknowledge in our brothers, we are acknowledging in ourselves. What we share, we strengthen. The voice of the Holy Spirit is weak in us. That is why we must share it, because it must be increased in strength before we can hear it. Holy Spirit, I share today your wisdom with my brothers and my sisters. I invite you to use this voice to speak to my family, that they may hear you through me, and as such, I begin to hear you more loudly within me as I share you with them. Amen. And at that, I turn the mic over to Reverend Ken for our inspirational reading. The mic is all yours, Ken.
From the Sparkle edition of Course in Miracles, from Chapter 11, The Vision of Christ. The ego is trying to teach you how to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. The Holy Spirit teaches that you cannot lose your soul, and there is no gain in the world, for of itself it profits nothing. To invest in something without profit is surely to impoverish yourself, and the overhead is high. Not only is there no profit in the investment, but the cost to you is enormous. For this investment costs you the world's reality by denying yours, and gives you nothing in return. You cannot sell your soul, but you can sell your awareness of it. You cannot perceive your soul, but you will not know it. Why you perceive anything else as more valuable. The Holy Spirit is your strength because He perceives nothing but your soul as you. He is perfectly aware that you do not know yourselves and perfectly aware of how to teach you what you are. Because He loves you, He will gladly teach you what He loves, for He wills to share it. Remembering you always, He cannot let you forget your worth. For the Father never ceases to remind Him of His Son, and He never ceases to remind His Son of the Father. God is in your memory because of Him. You choose to forget your Father, but you did not will to do so, and therefore you can decide otherwise. As it was my decision, so it is yours. You do not want the world. The only thing of value in it is whatever part of it you look upon with love. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. Its value is not in itself, but yours is in you. As self-value comes from self-extension, so does the perception of self-value come from the projection of loving thoughts outward. Make the world real unto yourself, for the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so it belongs to you. Correction is for all who cannot see. To open the eyes of the blind is the Holy Spirit's mission. For He knows that they have not lost their vision, but merely sleep. He would awaken them from the sleep of forgetting to remembering of God. Christ's eyes are open, and He will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept His vision as yours. The Holy Spirit keeps the vision of Christ for every son of God who sleeps. In His sight, the Son of God is perfect, and He longs to share His vision with you. He will show you the real world because God gave you heaven. Through Him, your Father calls His Son to remember. The awakening of His Son brings with His investment in the real world, and by this He will learn to reinvest in Himself. For reality is one with the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit blesses the real world in their name. When you have seen this real world as you will surely do, you will remember us. Yet you must learn the cost of sleeping and refuse to pay it. Only then will you decide to awaken. And then the real world will spring to your sight, for Christ has never slept. He is waiting to be seen, for he has never lost sight of you. He looks quietly on the real world, which he would share with you because he knows of the Father's love for him. And knowing this, he would give you what is yours. In perfect peace, he waits for you at his Father's altar, holding out the Father's love to you in the quiet light of the Holy Spirit's blessing. For the Holy Spirit will lead everyone home to his Father, where Christ waits as his self. Every child of God is one in Christ, for his being is in Christ as Christ is in God. Christ's love for you is his love for his Father, which he knows because he knows his Father's love for him. When the Holy Spirit has at last led you to Christ at the altar of his Father, perception fuses into knowledge, because perception has become so holy that its transfer to holiness is merely its natural extension. Love transfers to love without any interference, for the situations are identical. As you perceive more and more common elements in all situations, the transfer of your training under the Holy Spirit's guidance increases and becomes generalized. Gradually, you learn to apply it to everyone and everything, for its applicability is universal. When this has been accomplished, perception and knowledge have become so similar that they share the unification of the laws of God. What is one cannot be perceived as separate, and the denial of the separation is the reinstatement of knowledge. At the altar of God, the holy perception of God's Son becomes so enlightened that light streams into it, and the Spirit of God's Son shines in the mind of the Father and becomes one with it. Very gently does God shine upon himself, loving the extension of himself, which is his Son. The world has no purpose as it blends into the purpose of God, for the real world has slipped quietly into heaven, where everything eternal in it has always been. There, the Redeemer and the redeemed join in perfect love of God and of each other. Heaven is your home, and being in God, it must also be in you. Thank you, Hal, for asking me to read, and I will drop the mic for you.
Thank you, Ken. Beautiful reading. I just, every time I read something like this in The Course in Miracles, I just find myself like I'm floating down a gentle river in a small boat, and the sun is shining, and the birds are chirping, and it's just a wonderful, peaceful feeling. I think the emphasis of this reading and what really jumped out at me as we read it in our Course in Miracles study group that I attend here in Las Vegas, something that I didn't even realize what happened at the moment, but when it came to the sentence where it says, when the Holy Spirit has at last led you to Christ at the altar to his Father, perceptions fuses into knowledge, because perception has become so holy that its transfer to holiness is merely its natural expression. What happened within me when I read this was that it gave me a great sense of relief, because I'm a type of person that is very goal-oriented. And one of the goals that I have, actually probably the only goal that I have anymore, is awakening. But the problem with this guy, Hal, is that when he sets a goal and he wants to achieve something, he goes at it with all of his might and all of his scheming and trying to lay out things and put them in the right order to get the thing done. And any time that I've had, or this guy Hal has had, a bad day or a bad moment or a feeling that he's not doing what he thinks is right, and he goes into a state of minor depression or frustration, what this chapter helped me understand is that I live in a world of perceptions. That's what this world is made of. And that's been my whole life. And in order to move from perception to knowledge, for most of us, it's a gradual process. And this process occurs as we forgive the world and let go of things. Specifically, my issue, Hal's issue, is my ideas and my ideals. I have an idea about how to go from ego to awakening, from perception to knowledge. The problem is that's my idea. And it was my idea from day one, and I guess I think everybody has termed that the spiritual ego. My ego laid out the groundwork, plotted the map out, and took off. And at every corner, every turn, it didn't get to where it wanted to go. And then as I felt frustrated over that issue, my ego was happily clapping with glee that I never got to where I was going. The problem with ideals and ideas is that once we take them on as our truth, we defend them. We defend them because we accept them as our truth. And that was what I realized after reading this, and this release that I felt was that I felt that I had been released from idea prison. Idea prison. The chains were let go and I was out the door, baby. And with that, I'm going to present you with a little riddle this morning. Maybe some of you have heard it. I heard it many, many years ago when I was a young boy. You find yourself standing in a room that's as wide as you want it to be in your mind. But the riddle goes like something like this. You're trying to get from one side of the room to the other, but you're only allowed to go halfway each time you step forward. So the first time you get to walk halfway across the room. And then the next time you take off, you only get to go one quarter away across the room. How many steps will it take for you to get to the other side? Now, envisioning this room in our mind, you can say, well, I'm going to get there pretty quickly. But as we sink down into our mind, deep within our mind, we remember that we can only go halfway towards the wall on the other side. And we keep cutting the distance that we've traveled in half, or that we can go in half, and in half, and in half, and in half. And we finally realize that we will never, ever get there. We will never get to the other side. Now you can argue, well, I can just reach my hand out and touch it. But within our minds, if we accept the reality of this riddle, we will never get there. And this riddle is actually kind of a metaphor of our life as an eagle, as a sleep human being that has come to an awareness that he is sleeping. Because we find, as we've been told in A Course in Miracles, that we had a tiny mad idea of what it would be like if it wasn't like it was, or like it is. Once we fell into the tiny mad idea, and then we awakened to the realization, or are alerted to the realization that we're asleep, and we try to get back, trying to get back to awakening, back into heaven, it's like we're in the riddle. We can only go halfway because of our ideals and our beliefs and our ideas. What we've accepted as truth, we use these truths, we use these ideas in our path, on our path to awakening, and we'll never get anywhere but half the distance back to awakening. The ego has a great ability to have our awakening. Are we at the awakening? Or are we inserting infinite space between us and our awakened state? I think this is about what I do. And maybe you too. As we experience the tiny man idea right now of what it would be like other than what it is, if we accept this, we see that we are trying to control reality rather than allowing it to happen. Now, we are an aspect of the Son of God. We are a dream figure, and there are billions of us. And because every one of us has a different way of looking at the world, every one of us is trying to control reality in the way we think it should be. And the problem is that when our plans go awry, we run into frustration. Some of it may be mild, Some of our frustrations may be very angry, full of energy. We may even go into deep depression. All because we're trying to make this world what we want it to be. The tiny mad idea continues to march on within our minds. What is it? How can this be different? And then we look at our own life, and then we begin to judge it. Maybe we make plans and they don't come to fruition. We're not getting the right relationship, the right job. My plans, our goals, they just don't come to fruition. And then the problem is that when we look out and we see people that have reached their goals and have succeeded, we judge ourselves against them. And thus we feel failure, we feel we may be failures. And then our frustration and maybe our depression sets in. Something Nirmala said, or Nirmala, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was making presentations in the sanctuary here for a few weeks. In one of his books, he said that life comes at us whether we like it or not. And we just think that we have control. And the problem is that every once in a while, one of our plans, one of our goals comes to fruition. And we think that we have succeeded and that we are in control, when in reality, it was just a coincidence. And if we stop, and if we look at how many times that we've planned something and tried to get from point A to point B, we've probably failed more than we've succeeded. And that the few times that our plans seem to come to fruition, we think we're in control. Which kind of reminds me of myself. I used to be an addicted gambler. Here in Vegas, we call it a problem gambler. And after going through a problem gambling course, and they also use a 12-step program in that program. We come to learn that we've been lying to ourselves quite a bit. One of the things that was most astounding was in the beginning of the course, I remember back, it's been a long time ago that I went to the course, I think about 10, 15 years ago. I think it was about 8 weeks, maybe even longer. But in the beginning, they asked us to write down how much money, in total, how much we thought we lost gambling. And we all wrote it down, and we were asked to put that away in our folder. And then about 6, 8 weeks later, after we'd all gone through the course and started to find out why we gambled, why we love to go into the casino and get lost in the noise and the music and the sounds and the clinking, we were asked to write down how much money we lost. And I wrote it down. And I was astounded at how much I had lied to myself. I lost a lot more money than I had admitted to early on in the course. And I think that life in general is similar to this ability or this instinct we have to cover up reality. We really don't want to see what we're really doing, because if we did, we wouldn't like it. And the ego does not want us to know what we're doing. And so if we set up ideas of which way to go, which way life should be, what we should be doing, and then think that we're achieving anything, are we not lying to ourselves? Yeah, in a sense, I think we are. And we're not doing it purposely. At least, we don't want to, or we don't think we are. So we go back to what Ken read this morning about perceptions. What are perceptions? Perceptions are the way we see something. But to add to the problem of seeing things wrongly, we give them definitions, we give them meaning. We see something that we like, either out in the physical world or in our mind as an idea. It's a perception of the way to be, how to be. So in the reading, it says perception fuses into knowledge, because perception has become so holy that it transfers to holiness. What does that mean? The way I see it, and looking at my own life and my path on this path to awakening, is that one day I perceive something one way, and the next, I suddenly see something different. I see it, and the truth as it is. In other words, going back to my example, after reading this, my perception was that I was having trouble with awakening. I just couldn't get there. I was doing something wrong. And this came to light on a couple of occasions when I was with a group of people and I was presenting one of my ideas, and there was a disagreement. And it felt like I got slapped in the face. I didn't say anything on those occasions. But after one of the occasions, I went home and I spent the next week and a half in pain. I suffered. But I was, my true self wasn't suffering, it was my ego. My ego got exposed, in a sense. And I realized that my idea about awakening and my sense of great achievement, I had come to some great knowledge. And suddenly, when I put it out there in the world, it didn't get the reaction that I thought it would. I didn't hear the angels singing and all the accolades for the brilliance of what I had expounded to my fellow human beings, but instead was rudely interrupted, at least in my ego mind, and I had to go home and with my tail between my legs, whimpering and wondering what happened. And as we have all learned, hopefully most of us, in that our issues, as they arise in our mind, are the gifts given to us to take a look and see what we're doing and where we're at and what we're thinking. And I realized that I had gone off in spiritual ego land and was lost again. Handing it to the Holy Spirit, asking for guidance. The answers came to me and my perception changed at that moment. I realized what had happened. And I believe this is what is meant by perception fuses into knowledge. What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful sentence that is put together to help us understand and give us a place of peace that we can go to in our mind that, hey, you can have ideas. I can have ideas, but as I let them go, my perception slowly fuses into knowledge. Perception being a mental image, a concept, never constant and changing depending on circumstances or events of the day, whereas knowledge is permanent, never changing, and is what is felt. And I can give you an example, I think, of the difference between perception and knowledge. As a child, we're told to don't touch that stove. Don't touch that iron, it may burn you. And as curious little children, we don't even know what the word burn means. We have this adult telling us it will burn your finger. And they're looking at us and their facial features and the sound of their voice sounds dangerous. Something, someplace we shouldn't go. But of course, being curious little children, we eventually touch this hot subject and burn our hand or fingers and start crying or whatever happens. We just left the world of perception to the world of knowledge. We know now that if we touch that hot object, we will feel the sensation of a burn. And in the world of spirituality, where we all are hoping and walking, running, driving towards awakening, we experience that shift from the perception to the knowledge. To the permanent, never changing, the place of peace. And at that, as I look over my schedule, I see that it is time to open up the room to anything that anybody would like to comment or offer to this message, you're more than welcome. And remember that what I read early on in the invocation, that we need your sharing so the Holy Spirit can grow in all of us. So does anybody, let's see, anybody have their hand up? Song for contemplation? Yeah, let's have a song. Okay, thank you guys. I'm new at this. And now time for song. Thank you, Ken. What was that song? That was beautiful music. Just nice sometimes to hear music without lyrics. And thank you all for your messages that you posted on the board. And we take this time right now to open the room to any comments by anybody that would like to say anything you want to say, not that may or may not pertain to this morning's message. Does anybody have their hand up and would like to say? I see Angelica's up. I'll drop the mic for you, Angelica.
Hello, Hal, and hello, everybody. Hal, I really appreciated the reading that you chose today from A Course of Miracles. There's a few things from your contemplations which have been really quite inspiring and helpful. And one of them was the few things is when you said we think we have control, and the phrase we lie to ourselves quite a bit. Which is so true. And I love the analogy about the gambling and your very honest and really useful sharing surrounding that. Because we are, you know, I'm realizing how much I invest in my ideas and my ideals and into the world. And it's a great way of looking into how much do I actually gain, and to look at in the bigger scheme, how much do I lose, or have I lost, as opposed to win. And it's very clear how I am in with that analogy. I must be an amazing gambler because I have been putting so much at stake in this world, and not, you know, investing into things, and really at the end of the day, there's really no gain. We don't want to see what we're doing, and the ego doesn't want us to see what we're doing. And because if we did see what we're doing, we wouldn't like it. So the ego hides it from us. So that I found that incredibly useful, this analogy, and thank you for sharing that. One of the things what I have been doing recently, on the theme of not believing my thoughts, my ideas and ideals, and not energizing those, is I've been writing down on little pieces of paper and sticking them up on different places where I say, "Are you sure?" So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I see on the wall is a little sign that says, "Are you sure?" So, and I have little pieces like in my wallet, in my purse, and so it's kind of trying to remind myself about, you know, that it's not true. Whatever the ego is trying to present to me is not true. So I'm never quite sure unless it comes directly from Holy Spirit or guidance. But when it, that's why it's very often I like to know for myself, ask myself, "Are you sure?" So anyway, thanks very much, Hal. I really, really enjoyed the talk and your ramblings and contemplations. Thank you. And I'm letting go of the mic.
Yes, thank you very much, Angelica. I heard the sincerity in your voice. Looking at the at our life as an investment, I think is very interesting. And what we really invest in, is there a return? I see I have a couple of more people, and I'll turn the mic over to Reverend Gloria.
All right, thank you very much, Rev Hal. And also to Rev Ken for reading today. The reading was very, very good, very informative. A couple of things that you touched on, Hal, that I wanted to comment on. First of all, we were students together throughout our MPP course, Hal and I. And during the course of our studies, there were many, many times where Hal and I would have similar answers, similar concepts or responses to what was going on. So, and I felt that way today as you were speaking again, Hal. It took me right back to our classroom days. But there was one particular point that you made about how easily we slip back into old habits and old ways, and the process that one has to go through sometimes to recenter themselves, to stand in a place of truth and to express that truth, just like the reading pointed out today. You know, this whole process of denying illusions and honoring the truth. For me, I know, just as Hal mentioned, there have been many times where, even recently, where things have come up where I've had to literally look at what was happening and absolutely deny what my eyes were reporting, and stand in the knowing of the truth of my being. And you know, as we go along this process, that gets a little easier as we go. But you know, for me, you know, it's still a process. So I think it's coming to me to say that because we can get discouraged by our efforts. We can get discouraged by wanting to do and be a certain way and then having to deal with the with whatever life is dishing out. So, you know, we that discouragement is, I think, what I'm speaking to right now. You know, we are indeed one with the Creator, as Hal pointed out today in his sharing. And I just wanted to reverberate that just as a reminder to all of us that, you know, we there is nothing separating us from all that is. And the more we stand in that place, the more we honor that place, the more we affirm that truth, the easier it gets. But it is still a process. So I just wanted to add that. Again, thank you, Hal, as well as Ken and everyone who's here today. Love to you all. I'll release the mic.
Thank you, Gloria. It's very nice to remind me of our time at MPP. Really enjoyed that. And I do remember now how much we used to think alike. We still do. We were coming close to the end of the sanctuary time this morning. We will be going into our next schedule here where we can join in discussing things on an open mic. But in closing, I just want to extend my gratitude. Oh, thank you, Fellowship Time Guest. I want to extend my gratitude to all the loving thoughts placed on the board in that whatever I said this morning, whatever Ken read this morning, anything that happened this morning that pinged your heart, then you brought joy to my heart. And it's now time for our closing song, and I will turn the mic over to you, Ken, and then after that we will have our fellowship time. And I thank you all, and have a wonderful day.